All right, well, before we begin, let's actually just open up with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, I pray that as we open up your word, that you would open up our hearts to hear what your spirit has to say to each and every one of us, Lord, as a church and also as an individual. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us from your word just some simple truths from the story of Gideon. So, Lord, we thank you. We invite you. Once again, we pray for Pastor Dan and his wife, Karen, that you would bless them right now, wherever they may be, that you would give them peace and just a time of rest as we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good. Well, if you have your Bible, if you open up to Judges chapter 6, if you don't have your Bible, that's okay. I'll have it actually on the screen here. And today we're going to be looking at the story of Gideon from chapter 6, verse 11, all the way to verse 22. I think this is maybe one of my favorite, not the most favorite, but one of my favorite Bible passages in the Bible. But before we actually get into this, let me give you a little introduction regarding what took place before this. The children of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So God basically said, okay, you know, if you guys want to do that, then for 7 years, I'm going to give you over to the Midianites. And the Midianites were very interesting people because their military strategy was unusual. They just didn't come into Israel and destroy Israel and leave. What they did was they would just wait. They would wait and they would watch the farmer plant the seed. They would watch the seeds grow into fruits and vegetables. And then right before the harvest, right before like the man was about to like pick the apple and eat it, they would come in, take all the vegetables and all the fruits and just destroy them and leave. So, I mean, what happened was there was no food in Israel. I mean, my image of this, once again, this is just my own image, was that, you know, the guy who was planting watermelon, you know, he planted the watermelon seed and he waited, you know, I don't know how many months you have to wait for a watermelon to grow, but he waited for the watermelon to grow. Finally, he said, tomorrow's the day that I'm going to eat my watermelon. And he's excited. He sleeps. He wakes up the next morning and he's like, okay, this is the day. We're going to have watermelon today. And he opens the window and he sees all these crazy Midianites stealing all the watermelon and just destroying it. But my imagination of it, just my own imagination, is that these Midianites would take the watermelon and just like break it on their head. Bah! You know, these guys would run to the daikon field and just rip out all the daikon and just break it. Yah! And then they would just leave. I mean, for example, imagine us, you know, we work hard for our money, right? And usually, you know, we work 1 month and at the end of the month, we get paid. All right? So imagine us, for example, we work hard all month, and then at the end of the month, you know, tomorrow's payday. Tomorrow's the day I'm going to get paid. I'm going to take my family to, you know, Bikuri Donki and eat some hamburger. And you're all excited, and the company is going to give you your money, and you're waiting for the money. The money's going to come. It's going to come. You're about to get the money. You're going to get the money, and you're excited. Tomorrow's Bikuri Donki. And all of a sudden, somebody comes and just steals it. Imagine that. So you think, wow, you know, that's too bad. So next month, you're going to work harder. You're going to work harder because you got to pay your rent for 2 months now. So you work hard one more time. You work, you work, you work one more month, and the company's going to pay you again, and you're excited to get the money. And right when they're going to give you the money the second time, the guy comes and steals it again. Imagine that happening one time. One time is big. Imagine two times. Imagine for 7 years. That's what basically was happening in Israel. There was no food. It was a difficult time. And the children of Israel began to finally cry out and ask God for help. And that's where we begin in verse 11. Let's read verse 11. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz the Asbearite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." Verse 11, very interesting, because here we see a guy named Gideon. And we see that he's threshing wheat inside of a winepress. And now this is interesting. Now, I don't know anything about threshing wheat. But what I do know from what I've read is that you need the wind to thresh the wheat. But Gideon, he's doing it inside rather than outside because he's afraid. He's afraid that if he's threshing the wheat outside, the Midianites are going to say, you know, he has wheat. They're going to come. They're going to take his wheat from him and just destroy it. Right? So he doesn't want that. So he's afraid, and we see him hiding. Verse 12. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Now, this is a very interesting verse, I think, because, for example, in the Christian community, there's a lot of Christian vocabulary. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, hey, praise the Lord, God bless you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't believe that the angel, when the angel came, he was saying, like, hey, the Lord is with you. Like, just like a greeting. I don't believe that. I believe, and I think that when we continue to read it, maybe you'll agree with me. I believe that the angel of the Lord was saying, the Lord is with you. Like, he was emphasizing this word, you. The Lord is with you, Gideon. In other words, Gideon, this is your time. The Lord is with you. And then the angel of the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor. Now this is a interesting title, mighty man of valor. Now, usually for me, I don't say this word, mighty man of valor. Like, my friend, you know, please meet my friend. He's a mighty man of valor. I usually don't say that. But it's interesting because the word mighty, I thought to myself, what does the word mighty mean? So I looked up this word mighty in the Hebrew dictionary. And the word mighty, it means hunter. It means soldier. It means fighter. What a title, huh? Right? What a title. Now, it's interesting because when I was a kid, I grew up watching a show called Mighty Mouse. When I was a kid, I used to watch this show, Mighty Mouse. How many of you guys used to watch Mighty Mouse? Oh, very good. Saturday mornings. Right? I used to watch Mighty Mouse. So when I hear this word mighty, because as a kid I used to watch Mighty Mouse, this is my image. And you can see it, Mighty Mouse, he fit the image of this Hebrew word. He was strong. You see his chest, his arms. He's a fighter. He has his fist ready. He's ready. Right? He was the Mighty Mouse. Right? He was so cool. Now, the angel of the Lord is not calling Gideon a mighty mouse. He's calling him a mighty man. And he's calling him a mighty man of valor. Now, the word valor is an interesting word, too, because I looked up this word in the Hebrew to find out what does valor mean. And valor means strength. So Gideon is a mighty man of strength, is what the angel of the Lord is calling him. And like I said, I don't usually use this word to speak about my friends. Oh, this guy, he's a mighty man of valor, right? When I hear the word mighty man of valor, the first image, of course, is Jesus Christ. He's the mighty man of valor. He's the true mighty man of valor. But when I hear the word mighty man of valor used for, you know, man, people, my image is this. When I hear the word mighty man of valor used for just, you know, people, I have this image like this. You know, he has his fist out. He's a fighter. He's strong, you know, handsome, right? This is one of my images. Can I see the next image? This is another image I have. When I hear the word mighty man of valor, the image that I have is kind of like this. These two superheroes. Can I see the next one? This one too. This one's funny. I showed this picture to my wife. I told my wife, he's a mighty man of valor. And my wife said, he looks like a bank robber. Can I see the next one? This guy's cool. This guy is a cool mighty man of valor because he has the mighty man of valor sunglasses. Can I see the next one? This guy's my favorite. When I hear the word mighty man of valor, this is my image, this guy right here. He is so cool. Next one. You can't forget Superman. All right, you can't forget Superman, the mighty man of valor. Next one. This guy is cool too. All right. This next one. This guy. Sorry. All right. So when I hear the word mighty man of valor, I have this image. And it's interesting because here Gideon is, he's hiding, he's afraid, and the angel of the Lord comes and says, you are a mighty man of valor. It's kind of like ironic here. There's something ironic here. Right? Verse 13. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. This is very interesting because the first thing that's interesting is Gideon said to him, oh my Lord. Now, this word Lord in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean Lord like Lord Jesus. This word Lord is not the Lord for God. The word Lord here means Mr. Mr., you know, sir, is basically what it means. In other words, Gideon doesn't know who he's talking to. Gideon thinks that he's talking to just a regular guy. At this point. And so here's Gideon threshing wheat. He's afraid. You know, this guy comes, calls him a mighty man. And Gideon's like, Nandanin. You know, well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's interesting because Gideon doesn't even believe that the Lord is with him. This part is very interesting to me. Gideon doesn't even believe that the Lord is with him. He says, if God's with us, then why has all this happened? Why? Tell me why. Right? And then he says, and where are all God's miracles? Our grandparents always told us about God, but where are all of his miracles now? Where? You know, it's interesting because we all have had grandparents who love to tell us stories about the past, right? you know, our grandparents, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have the JR train. We didn't have the Mito Tsuji subway. No, we had to walk to school and it was snowing, but we didn't have shoes and we walked, right? And that's wonderful. You know, when our grandparents tell us stories about the past, it's wonderful. And I find that now my job is I'm a teacher. And I see young kids, they come into my classroom with their iPod and their iPhone and their MP3 player. And I look at them and I say, MP3 player. Huh. When I was a kid, we didn't have the MP3 player. We had the cassette Walkman. And it was heavy. I had to carry it all day and my arm hurt. And my cassette player didn't have 100 songs. I only had one cassette. And only had 10 songs. All day, 10 songs. And if I didn't like the song, I just, you know, with MP3 player, you press forward and it goes to the next song. For us, we had to push fast forward. And I had to wait. And then I had to stop. And hopefully, it stopped on the right song, right? And so then, I went too far, I had to go backwards again. You MP3 player, 100 songs, random. No, when I was a kid, it wasn't like that. Now, I know that some of you are probably listening to this and you're saying, Walkman. When I was a kid, we had the record player. It was big. We had to plug it in. And we couldn't carry it on the train. All right, we had to buy the records. All the young kids now are saying, what's a record? So, see, Gideon's grandparents, they used to tell Gideon, God opened up the Red Sea for us. God took us through the desert. But to Gideon, it was like, oh, here goes Grandpa again with his story about the Red Sea. You know, here goes Grandpa talking about the desert again. To Gideon, Grandpa's stories about the Red Sea, they were just stories. So here's a guy who thinks God is not with him. He thinks the stories in the Bible are just stories. They don't apply to him. And the angel of the Lord comes and calls him a mighty man of God. Just amazing to me. But one thing that's interesting is if you think about the way Gideon feels right now. I said he feels God's not with him. He feels that the stories in the Bible, these miracles, they don't apply to him. He believes God left him. And have you ever felt this way before? Because as a Christian, even as a Christian, I have. Especially when things don't go my way. When things don't go my way, I find it's very easy to start doubting God's word, to start doubting, man, is God really in this? Is God really with me? It's very easy for me to start doubting these things. But notice what happens. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? This part is very funny. Because have you ever talked to somebody and you're talking to them, but they're just not listening to you? Right? Like, I do this. I mean, very honest. Sometimes I do this. Like, I'll say, hey, how are you? And they'll say, terrible. And I say, oh, good. Okay, bye-bye. I wasn't even listening. Even recently, about 2 weeks ago, I was talking to my German friend, and I said, "Hey, how are you?" And he said, "You just asked me that question 5 minutes ago." I said, "I did?" He said, "Yes." And I go, "And what did you say?" He goes, "I told you I was fine, and then I asked you how you were." And I go, "And what did I say?" He goes, "You didn't say anything because you weren't listening." I was like, "Oh." All right? And it almost seems, you know, here's Gideon complaining. Where's God? Where is he? Where are his miracles? Where? And God says, "Good, go in that might of yours." It's like, it almost seems like God wasn't listening, that God was just ignoring what he was saying. But I don't believe that God was ignoring him. I believe that God was just looking at Gideon from the eyes of forgiveness. Like Gideon, he believes and he feels, "God's not with me. Where is God? Where is God? Where? But God is looking at him and God is seeing a mighty man of valor. God is looking at Gideon and he is seeing potential. He is looking at Gideon from the eyes of forgiveness. And what I like about this is that here is Gideon. He believes that God's word has no more power. It doesn't apply to him. He believes God left him, but God didn't give up on Gideon. And I love this because I felt like Gideon before, even as a Christian. And God doesn't give up on me. And the same way, God doesn't give up on anybody. And I think it's so easy to feel like Gideon, especially, you know, for example, we stop coming to church for a while. Maybe we stop, we get busy, and we're not reading the Bible like we used to. Or maybe our prayer life is maybe not what it should be, or maybe we fall into an area of our weakness, like a sin. And it's so easy to start thinking, you know what? God's not with me anymore. He's not with me anymore. But God doesn't give up. Now it's interesting. Let's go on to verse 15. "So he said to him, 'Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.'" This question is wonderful. Wonderful question. Here's Gideon. He's this weak guy. You know, he's saying, "Hey, I'm weak. My family's weak. I'm afraid. And you're calling me a mighty man. How am I supposed to do this?" It's a wonderful question. If I was Gideon, I would ask the same question. How? How am I supposed to do this? Right? It's a question I ask God all the time. How? Right? God will speak to me about something, and okay, it's wonderful, but how is it going to happen? And Gideon's question is wonderful. How is this supposed to happen? Right? And I don't know, because I've never met Gideon before, but I believe that he was looking for an answer that went like this. I think Gideon wanted this kind of answer. Because remember, his question is, how? How am I going to go from this guy who's weak, my family's weak, I'm afraid, you know, all these things, and I'm going to become the leader of Israel. I'm going to save Israel. How is this going to happen? I believe Gideon wanted an answer like this. "Well, Gideon, you see, yes, you are weak. You know, you are a little metabolic, you know. And you are weak, and we need to turn you into a mighty man. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to sign you up for Billy's boot camp. That's going to be the first thing we're going to do. 7 days, Billy. I mean, 7 days, Gideon. And you're going to do Billy's boot camp for 7 days. You're going to become strong. But you still lack leadership skills. You need some leadership skills. So what we're going to do, Gideon, is we're going to sign you up for some leadership training. And once you get strong and we take you to the leadership training seminar and now you have muscles and now you know how to lead and now you'll be ready. So Gideon, if you sign up now, if you sign up right now, Gideon, we will give you the free jump rope. Free, as a service. And if you sign up right now, Gideon, we're also going to give you a free happy smiley t-shirt. All right? For free. But you got to sign up right now, Gideon. This is the time you have to sign up right now. And Gideon, if you sign up right now, you're going to get the exercise training, the leadership program, the jump rope, and the free t-shirt, all for 15,000 yen. I believe that Gideon wanted an answer like this. You know, how is this supposed to happen? Well, it's very simple. Just, you know, Billy's boot camp, training, jump rope, t-shirt, Ichiman Gosen, finished. All right? But notice God's answer. God's answer is wonderful. All right? Remember, Gideon's question is how? And God's question is, verse 16, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. Very simple. God, how is this supposed to happen? Well, it's very simple. I will be with you. That's how. So easy, huh? So easy. But my mind is so complicated. Like I said, I believe Gideon wanted this complicated answer. But God was very simple. I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites. Verse 17. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. At this point now, we see a completely different Gideon. He's changed. Now we see him, he believes. He now believes he only needs a little bit more confirmation. Right? He believes now. He now knows he's talking to God. He just needs a little bit more confirmation. And notice what happens. Verse 18. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Next one. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them to him. 20. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. 21. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire arose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Last one, 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon says, alas, O Lord, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Gideon believes now that he's talking to the Lord. He just needs a little more confirmation. So what he does is he takes God this big old pot of nabe, like chanko nabe. Right? Takes God a big old pot of soup. God tells him to put the meat on the rock. God takes his staff and just the meat, finished. And Gideon now knows who he's talking to. Now, when we look at the story of Gideon, what can we learn from the story of Gideon? And, you know, here we saw a guy who was afraid. He believed God was not with him. He believed the stories in the Bible were just stories. But God called him this mighty man. And it was like God was looking at him from the eyes of forgiveness. And not only that, but God had this plan for Gideon. And I think that, like I said, at least for me, it's easy to feel like Gideon did. Especially, like I said, when we stop coming to church for a while, we stop praying for a while, or we fall into an area of sin or an area of weakness in our life. It's very interesting to feel like Gideon. You know, or maybe, for example, maybe even a married couple, you had an argument with your wife, and now it's like, oh, why did I say that to my wife? Oh, I feel so terrible now. And this morning, perhaps it's difficult to worship God because you're thinking, man, I shouldn't have said that. I should not have said that. And maybe you shouldn't have said that, right? Maybe I shouldn't have said that, right? All of us shouldn't have done the things that we did. But the good news is, the reality is, from God's eyes, He sees the mighty man. He sees the mighty woman. He sees the potential. He looks at us from forgiveness. Now, I believe that when we're reminded, like, that God sees me from forgiveness, not based on the way I feel, when we're reminded of that, I believe it makes us, like, want to worship God. Like, this morning, I feel terrible this morning. I did something yesterday. I said something yesterday. I shouldn't have done that. And now I feel so terrible, and I just can't really worship God. But when you're reminded, no. Wait, just wait a second here now. Because God, He's looking at you not based on how you feel. He's looking at you based upon on His forgiveness. When we're reminded of that, it makes us say, arigato. All right? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So with that in mind, let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for using Your word about Gideon, Lord, to show us that You are full of forgiveness, that You're full of mercy. Lord, we saw a guy who didn't even believe, Lord, that You were with him, Lord. He doubted You, and yet You had so much mercy to say, you know, You're a mighty man of God. You're a mighty man. And the forgiveness and the mercy that You had towards him. Lord, it's my prayer that all of us this morning, Lord, every single one of us this morning would leave here touched, knowing that when You look at us, You look at us from the eyes of forgiveness and mercy. Not based upon how we feel many times when we get discouraged in life. So Lord, I pray this morning that You would stir our spirits to worship You. We thank You, Lord. Bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.